John writes, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.' And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each of them holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' And then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." We come together today to remind ourselves of the Lamb in this passage, the Lamb who was slain. We have it recorded in the Gospels that as John the Baptist saw Jesus approach him, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." This Lamb in this passage is the Lord Jesus. We come to focus our minds on Jesus this morning, the Lamb of God. We have a particular focus on that moment when Jesus was nailed to a cross, when he was put to death to take away the sins of the world. Have a look at verse 12 with me. It says, "Worthy," John writes, "worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." We're in church today, aren't we? Because having been crucified, Jesus is glorious. The Lamb is glorious. He deserves all the glory and praise.
Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1. "The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and to put the linen on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord, and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by the lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense, and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of the covenant law, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood with his finger, sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people, and take its blood behind the curtain, and do it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most high place because of the uncleanliness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make the atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and to consecrate it from the uncleanliness of the Israelites. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most high place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and to take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place. He is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in the sanctuary area and put on his regular garments. Then he shall come out and sacrifice the burnt offering for himself and the burnt offering for the people to make atonement for himself and for the people. He shall also burn the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The man who releases the goat as the scapegoat must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterward, he may come into the camp. The bull and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought into the most holy place to make atonement, must be taken outside the camp. Their hides, flesh, and intestines are to be burnt up. The man who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterward, he may come into the camp.
Thank you, Rachel. Well, I wonder if you noticed the two goats in that reading. We have two goats there. Each has a particular purpose on what was known as the Day of Atonement. So for the Israelite people, this was an enormously significant day. It was all about how they could be made right with God. See, there was meant to be a special relationship, a deep relationship between them and God. But because the Israelite people, because they were selfish and fickle in their hearts, the relationship was spoilt. Because they turned away from God, the relationship was broken. He had been patient with them. He was loving towards them. But they, as a people, continued to spurn him. And it is because, at heart, they were sinful. And so that relationship was broken. The God who had created them, the God who had chosen them, the God who had patiently walked with them, as we see in these early chapters of the Bible, the God who had protected them, had guided them, who had provided for them and loved them continually, the God to whom they owed everything, he could not be with them. He was holy and they were not. He was pure and spotless and just, and they were spoiled and selfish and dirty and culpable. And these two goats were the means of making that relationship right again. So let's think about the first goat. Verse 7. Then he shall take the two goats, set them before the Lord. That's Aaron to do this. Set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats. One lot for the Lord, the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. That first goat is a sin offering. That means it's killed to make amends for sin. So first, Aaron the high priest has to offer a bull as a sin offering for himself. He has to slaughter it to pay for all his own wrongdoing. And then he can come before God and himself. And once that is done, he can then offer that goat as a sin offering for the whole people. Have a look at verse 15. Aaron shall kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. And thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of their uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all of their sins. So Aaron has made atonement for himself, and then he goes on to make atonement for all the people through the sacrifice of the first goat. But did you see what happened to the second goat? Verse 20. When he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and then send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. And the goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. See, the sins of the people are confessed onto the head of this goat, and it symbolically carries them far away into the wilderness. They are transferred, then they are gone. Taken away. And that is God in this chapter as a picture dealing with the sinfulness of the people. The picture is God dealing with it through the death of a goat and removing it far, far away through the second. In a moment we're going to have a moment of reflection, a pause for us to reflect ourselves and our own relationship with God. Let me put a few prompts before us to help with that. Firstly, I think in this chapter we see how seriously God takes sin. Sin warrants death. In this chapter, the death of animals in order to make amends. Sin warrants death for atonement. Did you see in the chapter the lengths that Aaron had to go to in the process of atonement? Step after step after step, detailed. The bull, the goats, the sprinkling of blood, the washing, a lengthy and thorough process. God takes sin seriously. So I wonder if during this moment of reflection, we need to perhaps recalibrate. We've been looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, haven't we, over recent weeks in Sunday mornings. And Jesus has been helping us with this recalibration. We've got to examine our thought life, as well as our words and our actions. This time of reflection is a time of repentance as well, for us to look inside ourselves, to acknowledge our sinfulness. Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God takes sin seriously, and so should we.
The next reading is from Psalm 86, verses 1 to 13. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
It's a wonderful verse, isn't it, that we ended on there, Psalm 86, verse 13. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Well, that scene that we had from Leviticus just now, of the two goats, it was repeated every year by the high priest. It didn't really make amends. It didn't really deal with the sin of the people. It was a picture of what was needed. But in this psalm, we find the assurance that because of his love, God has delivered his people once and for all. If you'll excuse the slightly cringy and predictable landing of this morning, the Lord Jesus is the true goat. As he was nailed to the cross, he was put to death like the first goat in Leviticus. And as with the second goat, well, to quote Isaiah, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus' death on the cross, you see, is the outpouring of God's love for his people. We see it in Psalm 86. Verse 1, we are poor and needy. Verse 2, we need saving. Verse 3, but God is gracious. He is good and forgiving. Verse 5. Verse 13, he delivers us. God deals with sin by sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross. He places our sin on Jesus and removes it far away. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us.
So, Luke 23, starting at verse 26. And as they led him away, they seized one, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, "What will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
There's a deep irony in this event, how those standing around in the crowd and those soldiers who were crucifying him, and indeed even one of the criminals nailed to a cross next to Jesus, have all missed the point. What are they saying? Let him save himself. Let him be self-focused. Let him be self-interested, self-saving, self-serving, selfish like us. And that is the heart of sinfulness. But what was Jesus doing? As the other criminal pointed out, Jesus had done nothing wrong. He was the pure and blameless sacrifice, the sacrificial goat, elsewhere known as the Lamb of God. And see what Jesus says in verse 34 of that reading. "Father, forgive them." And to the criminal in verse 43, he says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus hung there on the cross, the true goat, the one effective and sufficient sacrifice to extend forgiveness, salvation, the promise of paradise to selfish and sinful people like you and I. Have you accepted it like that second criminal? Are you here this morning to be reminded of what Jesus did for you? Let's finish with some words from Revelation chapter 5 as we started. John wrote, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." Amen.